A very good evening, Zimbabwe. It's 17 hours, 20 UTC, 7:20 p.m. in Zimbabwe on Sunday, December the 6th, 2015. You're listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us this Sunday evening live from Washington. I'm Marvelous Mtlanga Nyahuye. Amongst our top stories this evening, churches, civil society, and some political parties meet in Harare this Thursday for the National Convergence Conference to discuss issues affecting the country.
Yes, the purpose of this convergency is to rally together Zimbabweans from all quarters of life and from all walks in Zimbabwe to come together around common national issues.
The Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and Drugs Network says government needs to intensify its fight against the use of illicit drugs amongst the youth, which is said to be on the rise and leading to mental health issues.
According to some research by the Health Empowerment Trust, it has been observed that 55% of the Zimbabwean youth, they are actually into mental health institutions simply because of drug misuse.
Some rights organizations castigate the government for voting against the passing of the United Nations General Assembly resolution recognizing human rights defenders. Meanwhile, as the world commemorates International Human Rights Day Thursday, rights activist Justina Mukoko, who was abducted 7 years ago, says she's trying to rebuild her life following her ordeal.
It's really not up to me to vote people, but I think I have been able to carry on with my life.
And as usual, we give you the Youth Forum with the Tatenda Gumbo. Churches, civil society, and some political parties will meet in Harare this Thursday for the National Convergence Conference to discuss issues affecting the country. Bishop Anselimo Magaya speaks to Studio 7's Jonga Kanzemiri on the conference.
Yes, the purpose of this convergency is to rally together Zimbabweans from all quarters of life and from all walks in Zimbabwe to come together around common national issues. There are obvious differences in the way in which we see things at times, but what is very clear is that there are certain things that we all would agree. If, for example, you have problems of water, power shortage and cuts, it has nothing to do with whether you are MDCs or a PF Transform Zimbabwe. You are affected by these things. Issues of security of persons, but the crisis around this. Now, we have some friends that were very active in ZANU-PF years back, but now they are beginning to appreciate that the cause for which we've always fought have been just causes. So, yes, we are saying there are issues that we agree. There are issues that we really have to unite us. And this is the reason for which we are having to converge.
Who are expected to attend this convergence?
We are expecting churches to be part of this. We are expecting labor. We are expecting civil society. But we are also expecting political parties because you cannot exclude them. They are a part of our nation, and we would want them to participate in this process.
Where are you putting ZANU-PF in this arrangement?
ZANU-PF, you will note that they are the ruling party. They are the ones that are in power. And there are two things. Number one, our experience with ZANU-PF is that they normally would not want to be part of a process that they have not initiated themselves. Probably that they are not sharing. It's very difficult. That's why we had a protracted process run up to the inclusive government, because they were actually debating around legitimacy and who should do what. But secondly, because they are in power, which means that the problems that we have currently are obviously, this is a result of what ZANU-PF has done, and it might not be strategic for us to actually have them as part of this process as of now. But not to say that they are insignificant, they're very important. At some point, we will certainly engage them when we come to the stage where we are negotiating issues to do with electoral reforms and other things.
But do you think this will help put pressure on the government to reform some of these issues that you are raising?
They will have no choice. The moment that Zimbabweans come together in full force, they will certainly, I believe, strongly respond. I believe that there is not a single person that can ever stop an idea whose time has come. And I believe very strongly that Zimbabweans have come of age and finding themselves, finding each other. And I believe that as we put much pressure, ZANU-PF will certainly comply.
That was Bishop Anselimo Magaya, one of the organizers of the conference in Harare, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri. The Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and Drugs Network says government needs to intensify its fight against the use of illicit drugs amongst the youth, which is said to be on the rise and leading to mental health issues. Wilson Box of the Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and Drugs Network tells us more.
The statute that is actually used in Zimbabwe now is the Criminal Codification and Reform Act, especially Chapter 7 of that act. That really deals with dangerous drugs. What we would want to advise the government and other policymakers in Zimbabwe is that those who really deal in drugs, that is the drug traffickers, as an organization, we want those people incarcerated because they are the people who are actually causing the problems of drugs in Zimbabwe. And then the ones, that is the end user, the small fish, would actually advise the government to put those people in rehabilitation, because by putting them in prison, we're actually punishing them more. Because as an organization, we're actually advocating for a drug policy that is evidence-based, a drug policy that respects human rights, and also a drug policy that is humane. So in our quest to see that the drug problem in Zimbabwe has been minimized, we're actually calling for the government to really look in those issues and ensure that instead of incarcerating the productive youth in Zimbabwe, because according to some research by the Health Empowerment Trust, it has been observed that 55% of the Zimbabwean youth, they're actually into mental health institutions simply because of drug misuse. So as an organization, we are calling for the government to really look into these issues so that at the end of the day, we have got the youth, men and women of Zimbabwe, who are strong enough to ensure that the country moves on without problems of drugs.
Which are the most common drugs that are on the street right now in Zimbabwe that are causing some of these problems that you are talking about? And also, we've had a high incidence of sex parties in Zimbabwe, especially amongst the youth. Do you think they're related to drugs, or what exactly is going on?
Definitely. If you look at the economy in Zimbabwe at the moment, the economy is actually at a tailspin. Also, you look at the Southern African region, Zimbabwe is one country that is using the American dollar. So now the drug dealers or the drug traffickers, they find Zimbabwe so much attractive because of the currency in use today. Now, it will not make any logic to a person who is a drug dealer to bring his drugs to Zambia, Mozambique, South Africa, or Botswana simply because of the currency in use. So Zimbabwe becomes a market because of the American dollar. So what is now happening is that in the pool or sex parties that you talk about, these drugs are everywhere simply because we've got people in Zimbabwe with their monies, and to some extent, you know, the youth, they've got those monies. They go use those monies to purchase some of the drugs, and some of these youth are not even employed. So we are saying that as a nation, we should put our heads together and also advise the government on the way forward, irrespective of any political ideologies or dogmas. We've got a problem in our hands. We really need to ensure that our citizenry or our citizens are well protected from drug misuse.
Who is supplying these kids? Where do they find them?
We've got a lot of our cross-border traders. Some of them, they are smuggling these drugs in the country. And then also Zimbabwe at the moment is very attractive in terms of currency. Some of these drugs are coming from our neighboring countries into the country. And then we also have some unscrupulous long-distance bus drivers, and also the truck drivers, the Gonyet ones, coming into our country from the SADC states. They are also bringing all these drugs in the country. And then we also have medical staff in some of our hospitals with the lower remunerations that they are getting at this moment in time simply because of the state of our economy. They sell these drugs in the streets. If you go to Mbare, for example, you will find a drug like pethidine on the street. Then what needs to be done is for the government really to put some controls, strict controls, to ensure that all those drugs don't find their way to our young ones in our streets.
That was Wilson Box of the Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and Drugs Network. Some rights organizations are castigating the government for voting against the passing of the United Nations General Assembly resolution recognizing human rights defenders. An organization called Frontline Defenders said other countries try to block the passing of the resolution. Meanwhile, as the world commemorates International Human Rights Day this Thursday, rights activist Justina Mokoko, who was abducted 7 years ago, says she's still trying to rebuild her life following her ordeal.
I think the issue of forgiving is really not up to me. The Bible says that needs to be left to the Lord. But I think I have been able to go on with my life with the assistance that I've been able to get from therapists and other support systems. I have been able to look forward to my life, and I suppose those who did what they did to me will have to deal with the situation in their own way. But it's really not up to me to forgive people. But I think I have been able to carry on with my life.
That was Zimbabwe Peace Project Director Justina Mokoko in Harare. Meanwhile, Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri turned to ZimRights Director Oke Machisa on his perspective on the country's vote against the passing of the United Nations resolution recognizing human rights defenders.
It's very unfortunate and very sad that our own government, that we think at this moment should be putting the people ahead of anything else, has decided not to sign this protocol. It is very important for us to understand that when Zimbabwe was fighting for its independence, human rights defenders across the whole world were assisting Zimbabwe to attain its independence. And that government that we have seen today is a government that is taking colonial that was there in terms of repression and ensuring that human rights are not observed in total. So it's very sad that it's the government that we think should be realizing that it is very important to uphold the principles of human rights is the one that is not given in the thumbs up to such a mechanism. And I'm saying at this moment, it's regrettable, very sad, and we hope at one time there is going to be policy in the brains of those that run the country to realize that the human rights is an important ingredient for any governance in our country.
That was ZimRights Director Oke Machisa speaking to Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri in Brussels in Belgium. This is Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington. We're going out to you on the 4930-13860 and 15460 shortwave frequencies. And on the 909 medium wave or AM frequency. Coming up, the Youth Forum with Tsatenda Gumbo.
You are now listening to the Youth Forum, your forum focusing on your issues. Today, I'm gladly joined by Reason Wafawaroa, who was at the helm of the National Youth Service for 4 years. Thank you so very much for joining me today on the program.
Thank you, Tatenda.
Let's talk about the National Youth Service. What was the objective of having this National Youth Service?
I must say the phase that we saw between 2001 and 2006, thereabout, was not the first initiative that the country did in regards to the National Youth Service. First of all, we have the National Service Act of 1978, and that was put in place by the colonial regime of Ian Smith to try and mobilize young people for compulsory military service because they could not gather enough volunteers to join the army to fight the armed forces that were on the other side, the liberation war fighters. So we had that kind of national service in the country, which people commonly called call up. So you would be called up to join either the police force or the military. And we saw a lot of young black people who were mainly in the urban areas being called up for what they called national service. So that became part of our legislation and an act that was in place. And then after independence, the Minister of Political Affairs at one point appointed Brigadier Tambara he was appointed to start the National Service Center. That they had stocked uniforms and stuff like that in their thousands and thousands. But for some reason, the program could not continue as well under Brigham Tambara. So what happened in 2000, there were a number of issues that I think prompted people to look at what was happening. The political landscape then was that we had the land program on one hand, and the power of war veterans in that program and their influence in that program was also a factor. We had the rise of the opposition.
How did this political landscape play a part in the youth service upon its revival?
It was realized that there was a disconnect between the generation that was rising in the country and the ruling party, so to speak. To some, this disconnect meant a departure from the liberation legacy and its objectives. It meant people looking down upon the history of the liberation itself. It meant people looking down upon things like the National Hero Seeker, just the liberation legacy in general. It meant self-denial to many people to say, if we are not going to understand the foundation of what we call Zimbabwe and depart from it and deny it and say, I have nothing to do with it, then we become vulnerable to external forces that may take advantage of that kind of disconnect.
Without all that influence, which we will get back to, what was the approach that the youth service wanted to put through to young Zimbabweans?
It was founded on four pillars: patriotism, unity, nationhood, as well as entrepreneurship. So you want a self-reliant, responsible citizen who is patriotic, who puts the national unity of Zimbabwe ahead of his individual interests, who puts the security of the country ahead of his personal interests, who seeks freedom, happiness, and prosperity for the country collectively with all others ahead of personal interests. So we put all that in the concept paper, and that was the premises upon which the National Youth Service was introduced to us. It was supposed to be a revival of what people like Brigadier Mtambara had tried to do, and somehow it not come to fruition. So we basically came up with a plan where national training centers would be established. And then the approach was to have the program handled not only by the ministry, but by everybody else that mattered in the program.
Join me next week as I continue my conversations with the Reason Wafawaroa, who was at the helm of the National Youth Service, as we delve into the controversy that surrounded the National Youth Service.
We had issues that were happening politically at that particular time. There was no clear distinction between the National Youth Service trainees and the Youth Brigade, as some of you would know. Might not know. The ZANU-PF has always had youth brigades.
This is Tatenda Gumbo, and make sure you join me next week.
Tatenda Gumbo. Now to recap on today's top stories. Churches, civil society, and some political parties meet in Harare this Thursday for the National Convergence Conference to discuss issues affecting the country. And the Zimbabwe Civil Liberties and Drugs Network says government needs to intensify its fight against the use of illicit drugs amongst the youth, which is said to be on the rise and leading to mental health issues. That's the news in English from Studio 7 this Sunday evening, December the 6th, 2015. Stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye in Washington. Wishing you a pleasant evening, a very good night, and a great week ahead.